Well, hey, good morning, and welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Paul Pretty, and I'm the teaching pastor at our Marion campus. We haven't yet launched, but we're working on it. And speaking of which, right now, we are planning to launch on April 10th. And so that is about a month away. If you would be praying along with me that we would be able to hit that deadline, and there's a lot of details that have to work out correctly in order for that to happen. And so if you would pray for just the construction timeline, for recruiting the right members of the different life teams, just that we would be able to cultivate and create a distraction-free worship experience where people can come and get to know and love who Jesus is alongside others in this community. And I'm just so excited to see what God's going to do. So please be praying. April 10th, that's our goal. It might change, but I'm really hoping it doesn't. Well, hey, this past Sunday, I had the opportunity to teach at our Delaware campus as we closed out the Now Playing series with the movie Remember the Titans. And the point that I tried to get to is this interesting and difficult dynamic between a war that is won and a battle that remains. And where I got that was there's this really powerful scene in the movie, and I think Dean hit on this scene, and Ed, I think, as well, but where the team, the Titans, they go to preseason training camp, and they're at the College of Gettysburg, and they go out on this crazy early morning run at 3 a.m., eventually all tired and exhausted, they get to the battlefield, and Denzel Washington, and only the way Denzel can, just crushes it. I mean, just delivers these lines so powerfully. And he talks about this reality that 50,000 men died right there on that field. And there was obviously the war against slavery and the war against racism, which fueled slavery. And if you zoom out, you see that the Battle of Gettysburg was a pivotal moment where the Union, they eventually won the war. And from the Union side alone, there was 360,000 deaths in that war. And they won the war. And yet, what Denzel says in his role as Coach Boone, he says, man, if we don't come together right here on this hallowed ground, as we're fighting the same fight that they fought so many years ago, it was 108 years prior to 1971, 160 or 170 years from now, if we don't come together, we too will be destroyed. And that part was so powerful to me because there is this really incredible, powerful, horrific reality that the Civil War has been won. The war against the atrocities of slavery, against the just brokenness of racial injustice and of racism, of prejudice, of hate. The war that was fought to destroy those things, it's still a battle today. Even today, even now, we haven't figured out racial relations, culturally speaking. The war has been won, but yet the battle remains. You see that dynamic? And what stuck out to me so much was that in the life of a Christian, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus lived a perfect life in our place and then went to the cross to take upon himself the punishment for sin from God the Father, when he did that, and then 3 days later when he walked out of the grave, what he did was he won the war against sin because he defeated death. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death, and that the sting of sin is death. And so in defeating death, Jesus therefore then defeated sin. Do you see that? And yet today in all of our lives, we battle against sin. And so there's that dynamic that I think is such a parallel to the dynamic of the Remember the Titans film. And what was, I think, striking to me is just how much of a tragedy it is that so many would pursue racism, even though this battle has been won, even though hundreds of thousands of men bled and died to fight this thing. Racism still lives on today. And it's then that same, similar, but an even greater, to a greater extent, Jesus, God in the flesh, died so that sin would be defeated, and yet so oftentimes we pursue it today. And so what I really wanted to draw our attention to was this pursuit of holiness. And I think whenever we talk about holiness, there sometimes is this immediate reaction that says, I don't want to be legalistic. And when I say the word legalistic, what I mean is legalism is this idea that if I do all of the right things, then I will be saved. And I want to reject that wholeheartedly. Yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we don't receive salvation by doing all the right things. We receive salvation because Jesus did all of the right things for us, and we place our faith that his life can be our life, that his death is our death for the punishment of sins. And so when I talk about holiness, I'm not talking about trying to earn salvation. What I'm talking about is living in light of the salvation that we've been given. And what you see as you go through the New Testament is time and time again, as Paul writes his letters to the New Testament churches, he structures them in such a way that oftentimes the first half of the letter or the book is 2-3 chapters of this is who you once were. You were once dead in your trespasses and sins. You were once belonging to the evil powers of the world. You were in sin. Now that Jesus has rescued you and given you new life, live in light of that new life. Don't keep living in light or living in a way that pursues the things that Jesus rescued you from. And to help us do that, I went into the book of Colossians chapter 3. And there's this incredible structure where Paul first talks about the battle of the mind. Then he goes into these things that we need to take off, these sinful behaviors that we need to leave in the grave. And then the new things that we need to put on. And it's just this incredible picture of what it is to live life in Christ, that we no longer pursue the thing that Jesus went and bled and died for. We no longer glorify the things in our lives that Jesus took so seriously that he stepped out of heaven and lived on earth to destroy. Why would we do that? And I see it in myself, though. I've been recently just convicted about gluttony in my life in different forms. Why is it that I pursue the very things Christ went to the cross to die for? And that just really hit me, and I wanted to bring that to the church, and hopefully in a loving but really clear way. And I want to bring that to you if you're at one of our other campuses. Maybe you didn't hear the message from Delaware on Sunday, but just this reality that sin is so serious that God had to step out of heaven to destroy it. Why would we, if we align ourselves with Christ, go on willingly and knowingly pursuing the very things that Christ had to die for? And as I say that, I also want to give us an encouragement sort of to close as I wrap this drive cast up. There's this just an amazing truth in the book of 1 John, specifically chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." Okay, pursue holiness, essentially. I write this, you need to pursue holiness. Do not sin. You should stop doing that. And we should too. And then he continues, "But if anybody does sin," which we do, every single one of us do, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also the sins of the whole world. I write this to you so that you will not sin." We should flee from sin. Its cause, and it's going to lead to death. But when we do sin, because we will, the way Paul writes it is, the way John writes it is, "if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father who's standing in our place to say, I am righteous for her. I am righteous for him. Take my blood and not theirs." And that is such an incredibly calming, I hope, and reassuring truth that the Bible gives us. We should not sin, but when we do, we have an advocate with the Father. So as you go into the rest of your day, what I want you to pray about is, God, reveal to me the things that I'm pursuing that are leading to death, the very things that Jesus, you went to the cross and died for. What in my life am I allowing to take hold? What in my life am I glorifying? Again, that Jesus, you went and died for on the cross. And so that's a challenging prayer. So I want to lead you in that. And then I also want to lead you into exactly what John says there, that as we're confronted with the difficulty of that sin, we remember that it's not us, but it's Jesus in our place, and we can go to him and we can worship him and praise him that we're still sinners. Yes, we are justified before God. We are declared righteous before God the Father because of God the Son. And yet, even as we are justified, declared legally righteous, we still sin. And when we do sin, we have Jesus standing in our place and saying, no, they're mine. My blood, these holes in my hands, these holes in my feet, they're for them. So let's pray. God, we thank you and we praise you that you won the war against sin. And yet at the same time, Father, we realize we battle sin daily in our lives. And what I would ask, O Lord, is that you would convict us with what is sinful within us, and you would give us the power by the power of your Spirit, not by our own doing, but as you lead us and guide us, that you would help us root out that which is sinful within us, and you would replace those things with what is good, what is righteous, what is pure, what is loving, what is holy, what is from you. And as we do that, and as we still fall short of your glory and your standard, as we still sin, that we would be so comforted knowing that Jesus, you stand in our place, that we are forgiven, that we are secure in you, Jesus. God, we love you, and we come to you in the mighty name and in the blood of Christ. Amen. Why don't you take some time to pray now as well?